Christine Promomo is an activist who is a member of the Capital Women, the Coalition of Capital Region Progressives, Waterville Huddle, and the Albany County League of Women Voters. Christine is here with us now to talk about the 2020 census. Thank you for joining us, Christine.
Well, thank you for having me on the program. I'm very excited to be here to talk about the 2020 census.
Christine, what is the U.S. Census and why is it important?
Just a little bit of history. The census was first conducted in 1790, and it was directed by Thomas Jefferson. And then in 1840, Congress did pass the Census Act, which authorized a centralized census office. So it is now in our U.S. Constitution that every 10 years, it's mandated that we count every citizen in the United States. Our Census Bureau is part of the United States Department of Commerce and has a director, Wilbur Ross. He's been in the news lately, and he is appointed by the President of the United States. And the Census Bureau, that is the we're all familiar with, it is the federal government's largest statistical agency. It provides a lot of the current facts and figures about our people, places, and the economy. So every 10 years, we count our population, and our goal in the census every 10 years is to count everyone once, only once, and in the right place.
How does the census affect New York State and our local communities?
Well, the census, federal government census numbers, bases a large amount of all of their spending decisions on the census data that's collected. In the 2015 fiscal year, there were 132 government programs that used information from the census to determine things like allocating more than $675 billion of money for programs that serve our country. Lower-income families, programs like Head Start, Medicare, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, Pell Grants for college, reduced price school lunch programs, highway spending, and some of the forecasts about Social Security payouts. And those are all things that we are all dealing with and are familiar with every day. All of our businesses, too, rely on census data to help them plan and make decisions to provide local jobs. The data is also used by academic and healthcare researchers to develop programs that are needed in a community. So the enumeration of the number of people living in the United States, that data does also apportion seats in the Congress among the states. And the calculations there are based on the total populations, which means we need to count every citizen and non-citizen. So once every 10 years, our power can shift between based on population and migration trends. So for what that means for New York is that there are undercounts that could take place that could shift the projections. States like Texas, Florida, Colorado, they may gain seats after the 2020 census numbers are in because their populations have increased. New York State potentially is one of the states that could lose seats. So it's very important that we do collect accurate census data. In terms of protecting New York State's fair share of funds, federal funds that we get, there is an estimated $53 billion per year that gets allocated to New York State.
So, Christine, it sounds like counting the number of New Yorkers is important to determine what kind of programs we can offer, how much money we can get from
Absolutely.
The federal government. If we're not counting people, if people are missed in the census, it could cost New York State dollars in terms of the programs that we offer.
Absolutely. And our communities right here in the listening area absolutely will be affected. In addition, losing our congressional seats within the Congress. And it also does affect like our local boundaries, like our city councils and our local school boards as well.
So are census takers still going door to door?
During this year, for the very first time, the 2020 census, people will be able to complete online the census by mail. And folks that don't respond or don't complete, you know, the census forms, there will be then what they call enumerators, people we used to know as the census takers who used to go door to door in communities to try to collect that missing data. And that costs money. And hopefully, you know, by pushing the opportunity for folks to use the computer systems to fill out the census forms, that will help with the cost.
So, I mean, I can imagine people are very hesitant to share their personal information. We always talk about identity theft and all of that. How can people's personal information be protected if they're putting it online on the census page, or if some person comes to their home and says, hey, I'm a census taker. I want to know how many people in your family and your age and et cetera.
Correct. And all those things are of a concern. And the Census Bureau actually has been dealing with that for a very long time in terms of keeping your data secure. You know, their systems are hacked every day, or attempts to hack every day. They have firewalls set up. They are actually, by law, cannot divulge any individual information about any person or household. By federal law, there's really stiff penalties for folks who do divulge per incident.
So my private information will be protected if I tell the government how many people are in my home, age, et cetera. That information will be protected.
Yes, it will.
Okay.
Christine, how responsive are people about submitting their information, and what is being planned to increase the response rate?
So we know that this accurate count is really critical, but we do know that there's a lot of challenges and barriers that have been facing the census, not just for 2020, but also prior to 2020 census, people moving around, populations are diverse. What New York State is doing, because we do know that more than 7 million people of our population do live in areas that they call hard to count neighborhoods. So, you know, we are hoping the Census Bureau is going to be reaching out and hoping that folks will access through their community organizations the individuals that will be hired by the Census Bureau to help with filling out questionnaires.
So what's a hard-to-count area?
Hard-to-count areas are areas that have been identified in past years of the census that where, you know, there's undercounts because of people shifting, homeless people, households. They actually have maps that are available that they can hone in on particular neighborhoods that they know in the past that look at mail return rates in the communities. So those are areas that need to have a focus in terms of more costly and more more difficult in-person follow-up from the Census Bureau to capture the rest of those folks.
You mentioned that a new citizenship question was recently added to the census questionnaire. Can you tell us why and discuss concerns, if any, about adding this question?
The census question is something that is of probably in the news the most right about now. The law does require that the Secretary of Commerce that does submit these questions that it's going to include on the 2020 census. There's deadlines for those questions to be submitted. And the March 28th, 2017 submissions to the census did include citizenship as a subject for another survey, the ACS survey, but not the 2020 census. And this addition of this question actually happened after the deadline of 4/1/18. It was submitted to Congress. The Secretary of Commerce can do this. However, these changes are being to add a census question, which hasn't actually been asked on the census since 1950, being challenged throughout the courts. New York State is one of 17 states who's suing the Department of Commerce over the census question because the fear is that it will keep folks from answering the census questions, that, you know, immigrants, minorities may be fearful because of, you know, the current atmosphere in the country against those populations. So We do know that, you know, there's a lot going on. We're not sure what's going to happen with that census question, if it's going to be authorized. But we know that at any rate, if the question is left on the census form, federal law does protect, as I said, individuals, the census responses. So none of that information can be shared with other federal, state, or local agencies.
So the question about people's citizenship, that's a concern. But the census sounds like something that's really important for us to do, you know, as far as citizens to participate.
It is critical for everyone to complete their census forms for the reasons that we talked about. It would be a loss of congressional or seats in Congress, which, you know, it could save a seat if everyone does complete and we get a complete count. It will mean that we will continue to receive the federal funding that New York State should have to continue to take care of its citizens.
Is there anything else you that's important you think you want to share with our listeners about the census?
Well, we do hope that folks will get engaged in the census. We do plan on this program having some of the folks involved in New York State who actually are going to be running the census and future programs, and then more information about employment opportunities, as well as ways to engage our communities, our community leaders. We hope they will help assure people it's important and safe to respond to the census. One last thing, as you know, voters, I just want a reminder that we do have a special election coming up on April 24th for New York State Assembly seats that are in two of our listening area districts, districts 102 and 107. So mark your calendars and please vote on April 24th.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here at WOOC. We thank you for all of your hard work on the census.
Yes, that was Christine Promomo, a Capital Region activist and member of League of Women Voters, helping us to understand why the upcoming 2020 census is important and how it affects the lives of residents of the Capital Region.